Good morning. The Easter story today is from the Gospel according to John. I will be reading chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. The Word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter, and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes.
But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe."
So you have heard the story this morning. Mary Magdalene has found the tomb empty. And the first thing she does is completely rational. She looks for him. She looks for his body. The fact that Mary's first reaction is to assume that some authority has taken the body is a clue to us that Mary was not just a follower of Jesus. She was an involved part of the Jesus movement. She also cared for Jesus because she was there to prepare his body for proper burial. And when she could not find his body, it was logical that her first thought, given that Jesus had been crucified as an enemy of the state, was that some political authority had taken his body. Despite the danger that might have been involved in finding out who that power is and where Jesus was, she goes and tells Peter. It's Mary Magdalene who starts the search party to look for Jesus. Mary Magdalene was one brave lady, no fooling. In fact, the reason we are all here this morning is because of what Mary found. She found the unfathomable. The people of Jesus' day lived in a brutal world. They were not strangers to death or hunger. They were people who rubbed oils and spices on the bodies of the dead for proper burial. The work of caring for the dead is why Mary Magdalene went to the garden that morning. But she did not find a body to care for. What she found instead was Jesus in a new body, a body she almost did not recognize. And yet, as soon as she interacted with him, she knew exactly who he was. He was the risen Christ. Thus, in the garden, Mary Magdalene became the first witness to the risen Christ. It's radical that this gospel, the Gospel of John, recognizes Mary Magdalene as the first witness of the risen Christ. It's important because it's subversive. And it's a subversion that we still must grapple with as Christ's witnesses in the world today. In the other Gospels, it's the women who first encounter the risen Christ. But in the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, the women are so afraid, they remain silent. And in a disputed ending of Mark, the women tell of the risen Christ, but they are not believed. In the Gospel of Luke, the women are thought to be telling tales when they tell the news that Christ is risen. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's not told to us how the news is received at all. But here in the Gospel of John, not only does Mary Magdalene talk with the risen Christ, but she's given a message to give the others. And Mary Magdalene faithfully delivers the message Christ gives her. In these times, women could not serve as legal witnesses. So we see Peter run to the tomb to bear witness to Mary's witness. It's kind of funny. Surely the disciples wanted to see the risen Christ for themselves, but for them to spread the news of this resurrection, they needed a socially acceptable witness. And it seems Mary Magdalene was respected by the other disciples, because when she told the disciples Jesus was no longer in the tomb, they believed her. The men believed the word of a woman. No fooling. The followers of Jesus were subversive. So subversive, in fact, that in the first century, they believed the words a woman spoke the first time she said them. But our story does not stop with Mary Magdalene or the inspection of the empty tomb. In the Gospel of John, Easter is not done in a morning. It continues. And it is that evening, after they had heard Mary Magdalene's news, after they had inspected the tomb, and word had begun to spread that Jesus was alive. It was only then that Jesus appeared to 10 of the gathered disciples. And we were told they were in a state of fear. Certainly, the state that had crucified Jesus did not want the news getting out that Jesus was alive and not dead. They knew this. In part, that's why they were afraid. For in a world such as theirs, to suggest that the state had failed in the task of crucifixion was about as dangerous as committing the crime Jesus had been crucified for in the first place. But in that fear of the powers that be, Jesus came to the disciples with an Easter message. His message to his followers was, "Peace be with you." In the grip of fear, the disciples were told to hold on to peace. They were also told to go to Galilee and meet the risen Christ. So they go out into the world looking for him, and thus the resurrection stories we'll hear in the coming weeks begin. The Easter message is not only to hold to the peace that Christ offers. It is not only a sign that life continues after physical death. No fooling. The message is that Christ is still in the world. And we, as disciples, are to go out into the world and meet him. This raises the question then, where do we find Christ in the world? Complex question, actually. It was one of the topics at the recent conference on world mission and evangelism in Arusha. And at this gathering of Christians from around the world with different Christian traditions, we grappled with what it meant to be a follower of Christ in our complex world. For one Orthodox priest, following Jesus today meant continuing to be present with and ministering to the people of Aleppo, no matter their faith, even as the bombs continued to fall. And for a North American Episcopal woman, following Jesus in today's world meant putting her children to bed and then taking a protest sign to the local airport to protest travel bans. The indigenous people and youth shared that following Jesus for them meant working to relocate entire populations with their cultural traditions intact as climate change advances and islands are lost to the sea. In the end, those gathered at Arusha issued a call of discipleship to the churches. In part, it said this: we are called to follow the way of the cross, which challenges elitism, privilege, personal and structural power. We are called to live in the light of resurrection, which offers hope filled possibilities for transformation. It's a mouthful, and it is a challenge. But the empty tomb is no joke. It is God's proof that death and oppression can and will be overcome. Being a disciple and a witness to Jesus' death and Christ's resurrection is the call made to each one of us here today. There are indeed death-dealing forces working in the world today. And being disciples then means we are called to transform these oppressive systems into systems that give life to all God's people. So how can you, and you, and you, as a disciple of Christ, challenge the powers around you? Think about it. How can you start the transformation? Are you called to protest gun reform with the youth? Are you called to dismantle white privilege? Are you called to subvert the unjust economic systems by lifting up the poor? Whatever it is that you are called by Christ to do, the time to do it is now. For Christ is risen. We have been given this message. We have been told to go out to Galilee and meet him there. For we will find him among the workers and the poor of the world, not near the powers that be in Jerusalem. So go. Go to Galilee. See the risen Christ for yourselves.